All right, so this is what it comes down to. We are looking at the hope of diminishing the prevalence of sexual misconduct, especially the more extreme forms of it, like rape. So as we wrap this up, the discussion of this for now, let's take a look again at something that helps to feed into sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, etc., and that is sexual objectification, which says that this is something that occurs whenever a woman's body, body parts, or sexual functions are separated out from her person, reduced to the status of mere instruments, or regarded as if they, the body parts, the sexual functions, were capable of representing her. In other words, when objectified, women are treated as bodies, and in particular, as bodies that exist for the use and pleasure of others. Now, I think, again, that we need to look at this very, very honestly. Very honestly. We know that there's just no question about it, that there are men who do look at women in the way just described. But we also know that there are plenty of women who look at men in this very same way. They look at the man and they say to themselves, they often say to each other, that man is fine. Ooh, he is hot. And it's no secret that women will tell you that women can really size men up. They can drink in so much. Women can take in so much. And in many cases, they take in more, more deeply, and more quickly than men do. They size men up more thoroughly than men size women up when it comes to looking at them from a sexual standpoint, when it comes to looking at their body parts. So, and we know that this is prevalent. I mean, you think about how many of you ladies have heard another lady say, you got to watch women. You got to watch that woman around your husband. You got to watch. You got to watch. And there's a reason that women say that. All I'm saying is this. I know that it is, as I've said before, a foregone conclusion that there is a problem with a lot of males when it comes to sexual misconduct. That is a foregone conclusion. That's not a secret to anyone. That's not something that people are unwilling to discuss. What is not discussed as much as it needs to be is the fact that women perpetrate this issue, this matter, a lot also. And so really, when it comes to this sexual objectification definition, I think that we'd be doing ourselves a much greater service by saying that sexual objectification occurs whenever anyone's body parts, or sexual functions are separated out from that person, etc. Because that's what happens. That's where we are in the real world. We have men sexually objectifying males, women, girls. We have girls and women sexually objectifying boys and men. Think about the occasional story that we hear about where a female teacher has been engaging sexually with a male student. We have females sexually objectifying females. We have males sexually objectifying males. The definition of sexual objectification should be whenever anyone's body parts, or sexual functions are separated out from the person. Now, let me move someplace else, totally different subject, has to do with resilience. How many of you are finding that, whether it has to do with sexual misconduct, accusations of it, perpetrations of it, whether it has to do with financial pressures, family pressures, whatever it might be, job issues, whatever it might be, difficulty with making the grades in school, the grades that you really want to make, you find that for one reason or another, you really need to be able to bounce back. Those of you who are really working, endeavoring to follow Christ faithfully, and you find that there can be a price that comes along with that. Well, today marks the day that I begin sharing with you a weekly note on resilience, which is bouncing back. Listen to Acts 27 and 3. This is something that was taking place in this chapter. Paul was on his way to Rome. He had been accused of just causing all kinds of trouble as he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, as he preached about salvation through Christ. And there were a lot of people who didn't like that. He was beaten. He was taken to trial. And in this case, he was appealing his sentences, and none of them final, all the way to Rome. He wanted to be heard by the authorities in Rome so that he could plead his case there. So he was sailing for Rome. And verse 3 says, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. This is my first note of resilience. When we're going through a tough time, let's always acknowledge that we need the care of our brothers and sisters who care about us. And so don't try to be an island and go it alone. When you have the opportunity to receive support, encouragement, whatever it is, receive it, embrace it, benefit from it, and appreciate deeply the people who provide that support. And notice this, there are times when the ones who are given the charge of overseeing you may allow you to receive the support that you need. So count on it. Till next time.